You're listening to The Martial Brain, the podcast that explores the intersection between the martial arts, science, critical thinking, skepticism, and that wacky organ that floats inside our skull in a pool of cerebrospinal fluid, making life unpredictably inspiring, infuriating, and sometimes just batshit crazy. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain.
Come to the Dark Side, Part 1.
Evil leg locks and the evil leg lockers who lock legs. In episode 116 of this podcast series entitled The Red-Headed Stepchild of Striking, I discussed how my academy, in its early days, developed a sinister reputation among other schools in my area because of the fact that I taught and encouraged my students to use kicking techniques, gasp, to the legs of their opponents. In those days, kicking to the legs was considered by most commercial martial arts academies to be dirty fighting. You can go check that episode out on my website if you want to hear the story in depth. In recent times, a similar situation has cropped up in the world of submission grappling. It even involves the same target, the legs. You see, any joint on the human body can be forced beyond its range of motion until the person receiving this treatment either submits or experiences a severe injury. But in modern submission grappling competitions, the rules regarding just which joints can be legally attacked varies considerably, especially in the area of leg locks. Tournaments in which the full panoply of leg locks are perfectly legal are growing in popularity. But many competitions still forbid, or at least severely limit, the use of leg locks. Internet comment sections abound with vitriolic arguments between both sides of this debate. Why is this the case? The answer to that question lies, I think, in the same place where I originally got the idea for this podcast series. Not in the realm of logic or critical thinking, but in the amazing but quirky world of our human brain. We humans are uniquely able to be simultaneously brilliant and foolish, to combine the ability to make great works of art while engaging in closed-minded tribal behavior. We specialize in bizarre contradictions, like composing beautiful symphonies while simultaneously throwing poop at other composers. No, based on human behavior, I think the answer to why there is such prejudice against leg locks in the world of submission grappling stems more from emotional and cultural reasons than from logic and critical thinking. If you questioned a representative of one of the competitions that forbid leg locks, you're likely to be told that they are dangerous. But aren't all joint locks potentially dangerous? Of course they are. When presented with this argument, the tournament representative might retort that statistically, leg lock attempts injure more competitors than do other techniques. But I assert that the question of the potential danger from training and employing leg locks is more complex and nuanced than that. As veteran listeners to this podcast have heard me say before, humans tend to hate complexity and nuance. But the very act of listening to this nerdy podcast sets you, dear listener, apart from the average human. I'm going to cover this topic and present my case by telling three stories. A Brazilian story, a Russian story, and a modern grappling story. Today, I'll tell the Brazilian story in part one. A large fraction of the resistance to allowing leg locks in competition comes from Brazilian jiu-jitsu organizations. Why should that be? I think a quick trip through history in the Wayback Machine might be helpful. Submission grappling draws from a number of traditions and cultures for its techniques, including judo, catch-as-catch-can wrestling, sambo, and of course, Brazilian jiu-jitsu. The grappling arts entered Brazil more than a century ago, most notably from Japan. The most famous of the martial pilgrims bringing grappling gold from the land of the rising sun was Mitsuyo Maeda. Maeda was a student of judo founder Jigoro Kano and had a long career as a professional fighter under the ring name Count Koma. He is best known for introducing the legendary Gracie family to the martial arts, but they were not his only students in Brazil. Maeda also taught a Brazilian man named Luiz França, who in turn taught another Brazilian named Osvaldo Fada. Mr. Fada was important not only because he's considered one of the founders of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, but also for specializing in techniques that attack the legs, most especially the footlock. Compared to the more famous Gracie family, Fada marched to the beat of a different drummer. He offered free jiu-jitsu lessons to the public, including the poor of the favelas, the slums of Rio de Janeiro. The Gracies, on the other hand, built a fortune by charging high tuition fees while catering to a clientele from among the wealthiest citizens of Brazil, eventually becoming what amounted to Brazilian royalty themselves. And, as I already mentioned, Osvaldo Fada specialized in the footlock, a technique which Gracie family leader Elio derisively called a suburban technique, referring to the fact that Fada's academy was located in the lower rent outskirts of Rio. In the 1950s, Osvaldo Fada challenged the Gracie Academy to pit its top students against his top students in a series of fights. Elio Gracie accepted the challenge, and the matches were held at the Gracie Academy. Now, accounts vary as to the results of the competition. It seems that there were no disinterested parties to give unbiased reports. But even the accounts that are the least charitable to the Fada Academy have them winning at least as many matches as they lost, in most cases winning by submission with that suburban technique, the footlock. According to reports, each time a Fada Academy competitor attacked with a footlock, many of the members of the Gracie team sarcastically and repeatedly chanted the word sapateiro, which means shoemaker, in Portuguese. Now, I'm not sure why this is supposed to hurt someone's feelings. It must be cultural. To this day, it's common for jiu-jitsu tournament spectators in Brazil to respond negatively when a competitor attempts one of the few leg locks which the rules allow, by either whistling, which in South America is equivalent to booing, or by chanting, sapateiro, sapateiro. You see how cultural memes get started? I see this as evidence to support the argument that at least part of organized BJJ's problem with leg locks is cultural. Don't get me wrong, not all Brazilian jiu-jitsu practitioners or instructors buy into this prejudice against leg locks. Just as arrogance, ignorance, and motivated reasoning are spread equally across the face of the earth, so are the ability to think critically and employ logic. Although these latter qualities are unfortunately and lamentably spread much thinner. Well, that's the Brazilian story. Next time, the Russian story. Anyway, that's what I think. But I could be wrong. Let me know what you think. And check out old episodes of the Martial Brain podcast at my website, rpmartialarts.com. I'm Jeff Westfall for the Martial Brain. The Martial Brain is produced by Raging Squirrel Productions in association with the Rising Phoenix Martial Arts Academy. If you like the podcast and would like to help it grow, go to iTunes or Stitcher and give it an honest rating and review. Contact me with questions about the Martial Brain or the Rising Phoenix Academy at our website, rpmartialarts.com.